Okay, we're going to be talking about the Sabbath today. And this is one of those issues that, quite frankly, can become a divider between believers. For some, when you think of the Sabbath, you think of a straitjacket, a bunch of rules meant to restrict you from having any fun. For others, it might be that it is complete freedom to live for yourself to the fullest, with regard to no one or nothing else. Well, I think by the time we get done today, you'll find that the Sabbath is really neither one of these. My hope is to lay down some principles from Scripture that will help you as you think through this. It could be that you'll get some questions answered about just how you should observe the Sabbath. But to be very truthful, you may end up leaving with as many questions as you had before. Why? Because this is an issue that in some fronts doesn't have many answers in Scripture. So if you're looking for some clear-cut instructions on what you should do or not do on the Sabbath, then you may be in for a bit of a disappointment. Our passage today is Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, and Jesse read these last week, so it should sound a little familiar. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Now, I found that people tend to cling to rules about how to spend the Sabbath more than to almost any other rules. I remember so many of the rules about what to do and what not to do on Sundays, and the insistence of rules dictating Sunday activities is not new. Several hundred years ago, John Calvin set up a church state in Switzerland. There, church attendance was mandatory. He also set up rules about what length hair could be before it was immoral, about naming children anything but Old Testament names, and about what color clothing could be. Calvin, the theologian, should have known more about grace than he showed. And the religious leaders in Jesus' time should have understood the Scriptures better than they showed as well. We see them criticizing Jesus for picking grain on the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples were hungry, so they got something for themselves to eat. Well, I suppose technically they were working. But there's more to life than technical precision. They were hungry. Would it have been better for them to have passed out in the grain fields because they starved themselves? Is that better? But this really wasn't really a breaking of the explicit rules in the Old Testament. But over the years, people added to the rules because they thought the Old Testament rules were a little vague at times. The motives were fine. That is, they wanted people to keep in line and do things that would please God. But over time, the rules became as important, if not more so, than the original law. And the picking of a handful of grain was part of that added tradition. Now, even though Jesus was careful not to break Old Testament law, he didn't care much about breaking traditions. Jesus was a rebel. He went against the common culture and even went against what the good religious people believed and taught. They call Jesus a sinner then. And some people might call rebels sinners today too, if they go against what it looks like the Bible might be saying, but paying no attention to the heart or the motives of the person. If it looks like a duck, it therefore must be. No questions asked. But let's be real. Jesus was no sinner. He didn't mind breaking what other persons set up at rules. And he quoted an Old Testament story of when the great Jewish hero King David did a similar thing and ate the consecrated bread when it was unlawful for him to do so. Jesus caught them with a flaw in their own logic. Would they condemn their hero David by condemning Jesus? Or would they let Jesus off because they didn't want to condemn David as well? But Jesus went on to say what was most important. He said, mercy, pity, kindness, forgiveness, compassion were more important than beating yourself and others up for what they do. Giving others the benefit of the doubt and not being too quick to form an opinion about them is much better. And Jesus said so. That's part of the reason why we shouldn't judge another person's spiritual condition, because only God knows their heart. And then in verse 8 he said, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now what does that mean? It means that serving Jesus fulfills the law. It means that putting Jesus first makes up for all the stupid things you and I end up doing. I read in my research this week about hypocrisy. And it says that there's only two ways not to be a hypocrite. Number one is to be perfect. And number two is to be honest. And since your performance and behavior or mine will never be perfect, you'd better at least be honest with yourselves and with others about your weaknesses and sins. Serving Jesus fulfills the law. Make sure you work harder to follow him than you do to make sure that everything is just right. Now, following this incident, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. The man's hand was shriveled and the leaders were trying to get Jesus, to trap him, into doing something they could punish him for. They asked Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus made the man stand up in front of everybody. And Jesus used him as an example. He said, if any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? And Luke adds to Jesus' words saying, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it? Jesus was asking the question, what's more important, an animal or a man? What's more important, to do nothing because of religious rules or to do something because it's right and good? Well, duh. No matter what day of the week it is, it's better to do good than to do evil, to save life rather than destroy it, to save a person than to leave him alone. Jesus said that people are more important than things and more important than religious obligations. Now, it's funny that the leaders were more concerned about doing things right than doing the right thing. They were more concerned with protocol than with the man who was being healed. Now, I wonder if the healed man would even have a place in the religious culture because he was healed wrong. I wonder if that man would be disregarded because he was tainted by an improper healing. But that's what happens when people set up standards that may be based on the Bible, but are not in the Bible. The important things get lost when minor things get emphasized. Obviously, a person is more important than a sheep. But that got lost in the mess that religious obligations created. So what is important on the Sabbath? What can a person do, and what can't a person do? Well, let me start by saying that Sunday is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday. Sunday is what the New Testament calls the Lord's Day. And early believers worshiped on Sunday, the first day of the week, to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus, who came out of the tomb on the first day of the week. And there are no explicit New Testament rules on how you should do that. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." You see, the point is the worship of Jesus. To put Him first in your life. Worship is not found in all the do's and don'ts. They don't play, don't sing, don't go bike riding, don't go swimming, don't go driving, don't go fishing, and so on and so forth. These are all just people's ideas of how we should behave. They are rules designed to, quote, help people, but they miss the point. I mean, just because someone follows the rules does not make them a Christian. So how important can the rules possibly be? There are two reasons given for the Sabbath. One is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, where it says that we are to keep the Sabbath because God rested. God set one day apart for rest, and so should we. Through it, we become more like Him. And the second is in Deuteronomy 5:15, which says that in Egypt, the Israelites never had a vacation, a day off. They ceased to be human when they became slaves in work units. Their humanity was lessened when they worked nonstop. And this passage leads us to social leisure. Exodus tells us that the Sabbath was for us to pray. And Deuteronomy tells us that the Sabbath was for us to play. To pray and play. To reflect on God and to refresh ourselves. All those rules about what to do and what not to do on Sunday were based on tradition. And instead of people enjoying the Sabbath or Sunday, it led to a resistance, a dislike of the very day meant to restore us. Like the Pharisees of old, the rules snuffed out the life of the day meant for good. After all, Jesus did say in Mark that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Even so, in the New Testament, if the New Testament standards for the Sabbath or Sunday are vague, I still think there is wisdom in learning from the Old Testament thought. To play and to pray. But certainly, I think church can be useful for this. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." So we read that coming together for Sabbath and encouragement, worship and encouragement, is a prime function of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. Now, there are some things that you can do to keep the spirit of the Sabbath while being Sunday Christians. You could write a psalm of thankfulness to God. You could do some journaling, writing thoughts and prayers down on paper, not so much of a diary, but a spiritual record keeping. You could write a note of encouragement and appreciation to a friend. You could keep an hour of silence reflecting on how you've recently heard God speak to you. And you could exercise or take an unhurried, attentive walk outside in God's beautiful world. You could take a nap. You see, biblical Sabbath keeping is an act of trust, a recognition that we can cease our labors for one day a week and the world won't come crashing down around us. It is a reminder that we are small and limited, but God is infinitely big. And keeping the Sabbath is a way to affirm that our lives depend not on our own efforts and strivings, but rather on God's grace and care. You can turn off your cell phones and your computers. Ooh. Don't schedule a meeting. Don't bury yourself in the work that you need to catch up on. Just rest and reflect. Stop living like a human doing and start living like a human being. You could read a nourishing book. You could memorize a brief scripture passage. Reflect on today's message. That's always good. Make a day of spiritual refreshment and physical rest. I agree with Warren Wiersbe, who said, "The ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in Christian life. Our old nature is restless. The world around us is frantically in a hurry. But a restless heart usually leads to a reckless life." So don't get caught up in the rules, so caught up that you miss the heart of the day, which is being right with God and doing good things. To reflect on the importance of a God-focused life. The Sabbath, whether Saturday or Sunday, is a time to rest and draw near to God through reflection and prayer. So why should God have instructed us to take a rest? I think that it's because if we get busy enough, we'll forget about God. We'll be too busy for him. The devil gives us lots of stuff to keep our minds occupied so we don't think about God and how to love him and serve him. It's been said that one of the devil's most effective tools isn't evil people, but rather busy Christians. Busy Christians become casual Christians who have nothing to offer the world that the world doesn't already have. Have you noticed that none of the Ten Commandments says read the Bible and pray daily, or even go to church. But there was a commandment to honor and observe the Sabbath. And I think it's so we can refocus on God for at least one day a week. And even though Jesus came to fulfill the law, the need that God recognized is still a part of our relationship with Him. And doing this brings what? Rest for our body and refreshment for our soul. So, what are we going to do with this? I hope that you've decided you're going to be intentional about observing a day of rest and reflection. Not for the sake of being able to show off how holy you think you are, not because of an Old Testament rule, but instead for the fact that God has told us to set aside a day because He loves you so much, He wants you to have rest and refreshment. The rest and refreshment you need, as well as spend time reflecting on Him and our relationship as family with Him. It's for our benefit. Now I'm going to have the worship team come down as we close. So my challenge to you is this. When we focus most on the price Jesus paid for you and for me so that we can be with God eternally, seriously think and pray about how God would have you follow His directions to have a day of rest as well as a day of worship. Ask Him to help you evaluate what you do and why you do it. Is it honoring to God? Does it offer rest for your body and refreshment for your spirit? These are the important questions, and only you can answer them before God. And I hope you will. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, You've called us to set aside a day of rest, reflection, worship. And we do this because You set aside a day. 6 days You worked creating the world, the universe, day and night, Adam and Eve, everything. 6 days You worked. And on the seventh day, You rested. And Lord, You are calling us to do exactly the same thing. To set aside a day of rest so that we can reflect on all that You have done for us and for the entire world. And we can reflect on how much You love us, that You would do all of these things for our benefit. And Lord, we just ask that You continue to be in our lives, that Your Spirit fill our souls, and that as we go through our days, even on days that aren't Sabbaths, that we will know that You are walking with us and Your guidance is always there. Lord, we thank You for all the blessings that You have given us in our lives. And we thank You for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us that we can become a member of Your family. We thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you stand with us as we sing our closing song today.